We're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 as we conclude our sermon series, Doing Life Together. Amen. Live in community, not alone. Amen. Amen. If you need a Bible or a sermon outline, raise your hand and our ushers will gladly get you one. A Bible and a sermon outline as we continue doing life together. Amen. Amen. It's good to sing by yourself, but if something happens, we sing together. Amen. I mean, I sound good by myself. I really do. But boy, when I get around y'all, I even sound even better. You know what I mean? I speak that by faith. Okay? But anyway, it's good to sing together. Sing together. So this morning, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
You ready? Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 24 reads, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we're able to draw near to you today. Lord, we feel your presence in this place today, oh God, and we thank you for being here. As we stand, Lord, here glorifying your holy name. Father, I pray, God, you would speak to me, that I may speak to your people, that we may be edified, Lord, and you may be glorified. I pray, oh God, that we would leave here better than we came. And I just pray, God, that all the world would know that Jesus is Lord. We pray this in the matchless and powerful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. And I entitled this message this morning, as we do in our one another's, the last one is worship together.
Right.
Worship together. Right. And that is actually what we're doing now. We're worshiping together. There's something that happens when we worship together. Like I was saying, I was being serious, that we can, it's easy to, you can sing songs by yourself, and you sure sing praises to God by yourself. But it's something that happens when you worship together with other people. You begin to sing praises together. And in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the Jews to continue to understand that Christ, number one, Christ is better. Not to give up on their faith and trust in God, even though they're going through suffering. They were going through suffering during that time. But also these verses I read in your hearing is to encourage them to hold fast and not to give up meeting together.
Amen.
He was saying, don't get so discouraged in your suffering, in your persecution, that you begin to draw away from God. And when you draw away from God, the manifestation of that is you start drawing away from the fellowship. Hello? When a person begins to draw away from God, it manifests and they begin to draw away from the fellowship of the believers. And that's why he said, hey, listen, let us continue to stir one another up to love and good works. Don't neglect to meet together as some have the habit of doing. Now, what he was saying is the fact that there's some people are become habitual non-worshippers. In other words, make it plain to you that some people become non-church goers. They're Christians, they say they love God, but yet you can't tell it because they have no fellowship with the believers. They have a habit of not being here.
Right.
Now, when people say, well, hold on, Pastor, can't you be a, you know, you can be a Christian and not go to church. You're right, you can be a Christian. But all mature and spirit-filled Christians will find themselves with the assembly of God's people. So I would say you can be a Christian without going to church, but you cannot be a healthy, spiritually mature, obedient Christian forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. You can't be that. He said, why? You know? Well, the Bible says don't do that.
That's right.
The scripture says do not neglect yourself a meeting together.
Amen.
So he's telling you don't do that. So if you're doing what he says not to do, then you're in disobedience to the word of God. And therefore you're in sin. That means you're not spiritually mature.
Amen.
Hello? So the question for you and I to ask yourself, do I have a habit of worshiping with the saints or a habit of not being here? What's your habit? Because habits become character traits. Hello? And so if you have a habit of not being here, the habit of not worshiping God's people, eventually that becomes a character trait. That me now, so I have my character meaning the fact that something else fills the void of what God should be doing.
Amen.
Yes, we are to worship together. Yes, you can worship in your car. Matter of fact, your whole life should be a worship. But I'm talking about the corporate assembly. Because, see, God calls us out of something and into something. And make no mistake about this, everyone in here is a worshiper. Now, I didn't say you worshiping God, but everyone in here is a worshiper. Because you was created to worship. That's why we have so many religions, because everybody's worshiping something. So you worship something. You are. We all worshipers. He said, I don't worship now. I don't like to say. I'm like, okay. But that favorite thing that you like, you worship. You really do. You pay attention to it. You give your time to it. You give your energy to it. You give your focus to it. What is it that you worship? Now, we as Christians should worship God. And we should come together corporately and worship God together. That's why I always said that worshiping God on Sunday or when you come together is spiritual warfare. See, why? Because most people struggle to get here on Sunday.
Right.
No other day that makes you fight more than on Sunday. When you want to give God you have your best intention in the world of being here. You said, man, Saturday night, man, I'm going to be the church on Sunday. Then guess what happens? Those intentions go out the window. Something else comes up. You scroll up. You say, man, maybe next time. Because you say, man, at least God knew my heart. I wanted to be there. Right? But you found yourself somewhere else. And most of the time when you find yourself as somewhere else, it's somewhere else that God really doesn't want you to be in the first place. That's what you worship. So my key truth this morning is this. Our corporate worship is one way we express our eternal unity and love for God and one another. Our corporate worship is one way we express our eternal unity and love for God and one another. When we say we love one another and we love God, the way you do that is when you spend time with someone. What you love, you spend time with, right? You say you love God and you love God's people, then you're going to spend time with God and with God's people. And make no mistake about it, the most busiest person in the world was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he made time for worship.
Sure did.
He did. It says that he went to the synagogue.
Sure
he went to the place where they would meet. He was there. He was busy. But he made time to go to the synagogue. If you're too busy to worship God and you make time to be here, then you're really too busy. And maybe God needs to clear your schedule. But we of us don't want God to clear our schedule the way we want to, right? Because many of us, hey, we get so busy, and before you know it, man, where's the time gone? Where's my worship? Where's my joy of the Lord? Where's my love for God's people? See, it's hard to stir somebody up to love and good works if you're not here to encourage someone.
Amen.
Wasn't your heart encouraged this morning as you sung praise
Amen.
To God this morning?
Amen.
I know I was encouraged just singing praise to God. I was encouraged as I was singing worship to God.
Amen.
You know, have you ever came to worship and you had something heavy on your heart? But as you begin to look to the Lord and look to him, as the Bible says, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help coming from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. And as you begin to praise God, that load left your shoulder and you left like, man, God got this. I'm going to be okay.
Amen.
Amen. There's a message in the music as we minister to the Lord. So worship together is important. And the one thing that, and my first point is this, the one thing that we would do for all eternity is worship God together.
Amen.
Don't miss that part together. Together. We will worship God together. And that's why I say the corporate worship is important. Yeah, you can worship God in the shower, in your car, and all that stuff, but it's something about coming together. The assembly. Matter of fact, the Bible said the Holy Spirit yearns to be around his people. That the Holy Spirit of God yearns to be around people. I'm telling you right now, when people ask me that question, I can worship God by myself. I know for a fact it is not the Holy Spirit filling you to say that. Because the Holy Spirit's going to ask you, man, I got to get to be with God's people. I want to be here.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is drawn, we're drawn to the body of Christ.
Yeah,
And one thing we're going to do for all eternity is worship God. I'm not going to be preaching in heaven. Don't need no preachers in heaven. We have Christ with us. Amen. But we will forever, ever sing praises to his holy name. We will join the eternal choir, the holy angels, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We're all going to be praising his name together, though. It's together. Together. That's my whole point. It's together. We have to be together. So you say, "Well, I don't like being around other Christians." Boy, you're going to have a hard time in heaven. Because God's not going to make a special place just for you. No, he's not. It's about the people of God. And we sing praises to his name. So yes, I want to be practiced now what we're going to be doing in eternity. Worshiping together. Amen? Together. I want to be with God's people. I want to be with you. You're not a burden to me. I hate coming here. No, I love being here. Because God's people is here. God's people, I want to be with God's people. Don't you? I mean, people who think alike want to be alike. Seriously. That's in any avenue. Sinners don't want to be around saints. No, they don't. They don't. They want to be around like-minded people, right? I want to be around like-minded folks. Listen, that's why the club is full up. It's full at night. The freaks come out at night. Now, I'm sorry, if you're a freak, you come out at night. You want to be around freaks. I'm just honest. You want to be around both. If you are a twerker, you want to be around people who twerk. You want to be there. I want to go where the twerkers at. That's who I am. I feel comfortable around them. Y'all know the truth now. The reason why y'all laugh, don't like you don't know what twerking, because y'all laugh, y'all know what twerking is. That's why y'all laughing. That's why y'all, I know what that is. See? Some of y'all are undercover twerkers. But I know you are, don't worry about it. You know, but that's why you want to be, but that's why they want to be there. So my whole point is, in fact, if I love God, and I'm going to tell you, I want to be around God's people, that's what I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. People who love football, they go be around people who play football. They around football people. Hey, listen, the black hole, you know who they are. They love being around Raiders fans, right? They let you know, hey, don't come over here with that jersey. You want any wrong jersey? Don't come over here. Right. They tell you who they are. So if that's the case, then I want to be around God's people. I want to be together with like-minded people that think alike, believe alike, live alike. We glorify God together. You shouldn't be uncomfortable if you're child of God around this, in this assembly. Amen. You shouldn't feel like, I just feel out of place here. No, I don't. I feel right at home because God is here. Amen? Amen? Not only this, worship helps us see that Jesus Christ is the center of our lives and not us. Amen. See, coming here helps you center your life. Helps you center your life and say, listen, I want to start the week off with Jesus. I want to center my mind and my spirit with Jesus because you know come tomorrow, it's going to be rough out there. So you come to center yourself, center your spirit in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Some of y'all are going to work tomorrow with some devils. And you need to be centered in your spirit as you go fight that darkness out there. You need to get your mind regulated, right? He's a mind regulator, right? And you need to get yourself centered in Jesus Christ. I don't know how folks make it throughout the week without Jesus. I don't know how you make it out there. And I'm telling you, we need to center our lives on Jesus Christ and not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, because when you begin just not centering yourself around Jesus, your life centered around you. And you know all of us now, when we center our life around us, bad things can happen. Because we are selfish by nature and we still struggle with sin. We are, all of us, selfish by nature, and we still struggle with sin. And that's why I need Jesus to help me not be selfish, but be selfless, and to be sinless as I center my life on the Savior. Amen. Amen? Amen? And that's why corporate worship is the way we make God a priority in our lives. Yes, corporate worship should be a priority in your life. I'm telling you. I'm not going to apologize. Yes, worshiping God should be a priority in your life. The question for you should be that when they do the roll call, you know how they do in school back in the day? They used to do that, what they call that, you get, is it a reward? Your kids get this award, they call it, What is that? Perfect attendance? Or like, you know, who missed? And you try to get that award when you little? I don't want to miss. Because you want that star, right? The question to ask yourself, if God didn't attend your attendance record for last year, would it be the stars by your name an asterisk? Stars mean you did good. Asterisk mean you, man, you kind of shaky. Other words, were you absent more than you was here? Hello? Were you absent more than you was here with the body of Christ? Think about that. If we're absent more, then it means that Christ is not centered, we're not centering our mind on Christ. That we're absent to who Christ is in our lives and what he does in our lives. We're more focused on other things. But I love what Hebrews 13, verse 14 says. It says in verse 13, it says, therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Then it says, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So you offer God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of your lips that acknowledge his name. Everyone here can give God something, a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of your lips. Open your mouth and sing praises unto him. That's what God wants us to do. Open our mouth and sing praises unto him. That's what God wants us to do. Colossians 3, verse 16 says this. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Then it says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to who? God. Corporate worship is important. Giving sacrifice of praise to God is important. God wants you to give him a sacrifice of praise. God wants you to tell him thank you by you coming together, saying, God, we come as a collective group to give you praise. Anybody ever went to a sporting event? A game? Isn't it exciting when your team on it and they win it and you just shout and you give it in praise? Hey, go! Right? They score a point, you shout. That's form of worship. For what he did at the club, he said, man, I like what happened. I just, man. What has God done for you? Amen? So every day we should come in here saying, I want to give God praise for the great things he has done. He has won the victory for me. We all worship in many ways. All of us worship. Everybody worships something. Not only that, worshiping together is one way we identify that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. What identifies you as a disciple? What makes you stand out? What identifies you as a disciple? One way is that we are a worshiper of God. We worship God. When people ask you what you've done throughout the week, what you've done this week, we got a whole list of things. But when we say, man, I went and gathered with God's people to give him praise, they're going to think you're crazy, most people. But no, that's what we do. Praise is what we do. We give him glory for what he has done. That's what we identify as being the children of God, is we worship him. And we worship together. Yes, you can be a Christian, but when we come together, we say, hey, I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I belong to Jesus. It's not just about me. It's about us. We come to worship the Lord and to bless his name. As the psalm said, oh, bless the Lord, what? With me. Come bless the Lord with me. Come join me in praising God. And we need to understand that as well, because we know the fact that life gets us so busy. Life gets us busy. You get busy with life, and before you know it, you begin to, and sometimes you're not careful, life can discourage you too. But come into the house of the Lord, to the courts of the Lord, and begin to praise his name. It transforms you, doesn't it? It changes things in your life, amen? You know, I love what the psalmist talks about me. Matter of fact, reading the book of Psalms is all really a psalm of praise for the great things God has done. You know, and I love what it says about coming to the house of the Lord. You know, Psalm 84 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. He says, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. That's called praise. Amen. It says my heart and my flesh sing for joy. It says in verse 10, it says, for a day in the courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Then he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. No, he said, I'd rather be an usher in God's house than hang out in the club with wicked people. Hello, that's my version. I just paraphrased that for some of y'all. That's what I'm saying to you. Would you rather be in church ushering here than be at the club with wicked people? The Bible said, I would rather be here than dwell in the tents of wicked people. Because I've identified with who God is in my life. I know who God is. So I want to long to be with him. And a soul that has been born again thirsts to be with God. Do you know what? No one has to make me come here. First, no one has to make me show up. I don't have to make, get up, it's time to go. No, I want to be here with God's people. My soul thirsts for the Lord, the living God. Well, there truly there's water that he quenches our thirst. Amen? Anybody need the Lord in your life today? Anybody came to give him praise today in the house? Then it says in Psalm 149, it says this. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise, it says where? In the assembly of the godly. It says, do all this in the assembly of the godly. Who are the godly? Those who have been called by God. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Hello. Make a melody to him with a tambourine and with the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Lord is pleased when we come together and worship. He adorns the humble with salvation. You know, God says he loves it when his children praise his name. Just like a mother or a parent loving their kids, do something or praise, obscene, even if they can't do, they're not that good. I'm serious. I mean, mothers are like that. I mean, kid is not that, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, and they brag, ooh, yes, sing it, baby. And you're like, that is not good. But yeah, it's okay. To mama, it's okay, right? Whatever it is, do no wrong. Mama just, yeah, look at my baby up there. No, we don't want to. But anyway. And I believe that's what God feels about us. He says, look at them singing praises to me. Yeah, he may be off tune. She may be off tune. Can't hold a note, but that's okay. They're singing praises unto me. And he says, keep going. Keep doing that. I abide in the praises of my people. Because they're offering a praise unto who? To him. To God. What are you bringing to God today? Don't get too holy and where you say, well, I don't pray like that. I don't like to pray. I don't like to sing praises to God. I do it in silence. Well, there's not going to be a silent corner in heaven. We're all going to be praising his holy name. Amen? Amen. Yeah, ladies and real men love Jesus too. We sing praises to God too. Amen? Amen. I'm saying a real man praises. He said, why? You know, because David was a real man. Amen. David was a king, he was a warrior, and he was a worshiper. Amen. Now, I ain't seen too many dudes better than King David. I have, he's a man's man. He killed a giant. He killed some warriors. And yet, he praised God, too. So, don't tell me you that macho. No. No. David was a man of God's own heart, and he said that he praised so much that his wife told him he don't take all that. She did. I'm telling you, really, they don't take all that, David. You're doing too much. See, men, you ought to praise someone. You come in, your wife says, baby, it didn't take all that now. You were crying and cutting, it didn't take all that. I felt uncomfortable you was doing like that. And you know what David said to his wife? He said, baby, you don't know what God has done for me. You don't know what God has done for me. I was a shepherd. And God to me for being a shepherd to being a king. Matter of fact, he put me in your daddy's place.
That's right.
Your dad was king, but God told me to be king. I was a shepherd, I became a king. He said, I can't help but praise him for what he's done for me. He has done great things for me, amen? And when you know what God has done for you, you can't help but give him praise. I don't care if you bunch your man, no, I'm a man of God. Amen? I'm going to praise his holy name. Praise me until you say, it don't take all that. It takes that and more, amen? Not only that, when we come together, even though we are different, we show the world the power of the gospel. Amen. You know that music unifies, is the universal language, unites people? It should. It should unite us. Because when we sing it to God, it's not about me, it's about him. One time I went to this, me and my wife went to this jazz concert. And I told her something. I said, man, I got a sermon illustration right here at the jazz concert. Seriously, I can get them anywhere now. I looked around, and it was people from all different ethnicities. Man, they was jamming and high-fiving to that music. I said, look at this. Look how music has unified all ethnicities. Shouldn't our music to God unify us? So then show what it means, man, we see the power of God in our life to show that we are God's people and that we're not different because we have the same God. Amen. Different background, maybe eat different food, but man, we have the same God. Amen. And we come to give him praise. Amen? Amen? Amen. We come to give him praise. And we say, ooh, well, I didn't like that song. Ain't about you liking the song, but I love that God. Amen? Amen? Amen. I love the God they're singing about, so I'm going to sing praises unto him. Because, see, corporate worship is our response to the one we love. Yeah. Corporate worship is a response to the one you love. That's all it is. I'm responding from outwardly because I inwardly love God and I can't help but show it outwardly. I'm going to open my mouth and give him praise. You say, one of God's love languages is words of affirmation. Amen. He loved to be affirmed. Not because he lacking anything, but he loved you to tell him how good he is to you. Amen. He said, yeah, keep it coming because it's all true. Amen. Amen. We want to worship God and say, God, we love you. And we come to give him praise together and say, we love you. Not I love you, but we love you. Amen. Amen. We come and do it together. And that's what God's want. God has always called his people to come together. To come together. When Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. He says, let my people go that they may go into the wilderness and worship me. See, God calls you out to call you in. Amen. See, God calls you out of the world into the body of Christ. See, God will call you out of the club into the church. He ain't gonna leave you just outside. He's gonna call you somewhere. He's gonna call you in. And the question for you and I is, have you been called in? Do you love God? Do you want to give him praise for what he's done in your life? Don't you want to give him praise? We respond to that, the one we love. All over the Bible you see them coming together. Matter of fact, the word church really means, ecclesia means assembly. It means the called out one. They gathered together. They gathered together to worship God. That's what God wants. And that's why the enemy fights that. You know why? That's why he fights you tooth and nail every Sunday from coming here, because he knows there's power in corporate worship. That's why he bothers you. He knows, if I can get you off, if I can get you to become a habit of not being here, then I got you. Because now I divided you from the congregation. Now I can devour you. There's power in numbers. We need to be here to encourage one another and to stir one another up to love and good works. See, sometimes we need to be stirred up to keep going. Not to quit. That God is real. That God is faithful even in the midst of what we're going through. Do you know that when you come in, you're saying, God, I'm seeking you? It says that we must, it says that what? You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But those who come to God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. That diligently seek him, that I am seeking after God. And the Bible says when you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. It says draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Are you diligently seeking God? Are you drawing near to God? When you do, God begins to do something in your life. See, many of us want the blessings of God, but we haven't made God a priority in our lives. And that's why many of us are continually to struggle in spiritual areas in our lives. Because we don't have a habit of worshiping. We don't have a habit of giving God something. Because, like the old folks would say, it's not in the Bible, but it's a spiritual principle. It's not in the Bible, but it is a spiritual principle. It said when the praises go up, see, some of y'all know that, don't you? See? The blessings come down. The praises go up, the blessings come down. Something about, Lord, I'm just giving you praise. And God in turn would say, man, I want to meet you where you are. I want to bless you. Because you made me a priority. See, some things God would give you just for you. You need to ask for anything just by showing up. He said, God, I'm going to bless you for what you've done. I'm going to give you blessing because you're making me a priority in your life. Some of us, man, I'm struggling with my spiritual wall. I never seem to have enough money, didn't have enough this. No, you ain't worried about that because my God has everything I need. Now, think about that. If God has everything that I need, why would I come to him and get it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you are a child of God, God is saying, don't seek nothing but seek me because everything you need is in me. Amen. So I'm going to come worship God because God, I know you got it. Can you worship God when you're sick? When your body don't feel like it? But you say, I'm going to be here anyhow. That's when your healing comes. Sometimes God says, oh, can you praise me when your back is hurt? Can you pray when you have a headache? Can you come in here where all of us is still praying? Because I'm going to bless you. Amen. 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 Can you praise me when there's no money in the bank? God says, I'm going to praise him anyhow. Amen. I'm telling you, some of you are missing your blessings because you haven't developed a habit of giving God praise. You hit and miss. You hit and miss. And you wonder why. What's God doing? He said, I ain't doing nothing because you don't have any faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The key word is your faith. And then do it with God. God said, I'm good. The problem is you. You too inconsistent that I can't do it because your faith isn't working. See, faith works. That's why some of us are going through. Because we haven't made a consistent effort to say, God, here I am. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to worship you. There's something God won't do until you gather with God, with his people. Some of your healings are right here. It's not in your car. It's here with God's people. Some of your many blessings are right here with God's people. It's right here. See, worshiping together is one way we comfort our hearts and are able to hear from God. You should expect to hear from God when you come here. They say, well, I can hear from God anywhere. Yeah, you can. You can. You can hear from God anywhere. You really can. But sometimes we get too busy. We have static on the line. Our life is so busy. I call it, we have the volume of life turned up. So when you gather here, you turn the volume of life down, and God can speak to you through another vessel. See what I'm saying? You ever left and said, man, that pastor was talking to me. And what I said to you, I didn't know anything about what you was going through, but when I spoke to you, you said, man, he was speaking right to me. He all in my business. No, God's in your business. I'm not in your business. I'm not. I'm in my own business. No, God is in your business. And he uses me to speak to you because he says, you won't be to hear until you get here and sit down somewhere. Now I can talk to you. Hello? So sometimes we come and we worship and we praise God and God speaks to us and we hear. As it says in Acts 13, when they was praising God, they was praising and worshiping God together. And the Bible said, it says that God said to them, separate to me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work I've called them. As they was worshiping God, God spoke to them and said, hey, I called Paul and Barnabas to a work. Send them out. See, when you worship in God, you open your spirit up to hear from God and to receive what God has for you. Think about that. God wants to speak to his children. God wants to speak to you. See, I believe that God is not trying to hide his will from us. He wants us to know his will. The question for you is, are you willing to seek his will? Do you want to know who God is in your life? Worship God. Come together with God's people and see what he does. And sometimes even King Saul knew this when he was going through and he was being antagonized. He said, who did he call to calm him? He said, send for David. Let him play some music. And when he played the music, it said that the evil spirit did what? Left him. Something about praising God puts the enemy to flight. See, praising God, again, the enemy can't hang around praise, can he? He doesn't like that. You're going through a situation in your life today. You're going through some trouble in your life right now. Just worship God. Nothing makes the devil madder than when you begin to worship and praise God. He doesn't like that. Begin to praise God and see what happens. He will do it. Amen, sister. He'll do it. He'll do it. I'm with you. I can testify. He'll do it. He will do it. But you got to believe that he will do it. You got to believe and have faith, man, that God will do it, that God's going to meet me here, and God's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. I'm going to give him a praise. That's what I always say. People say, man, I don't have any money to give God. You okay? I mean, God ain't, you know, God is okay. God is good. He's going to be okay. I want y'all to know God's going to be good. He's going to be okay. He ain't gonna, his light bills are not going, his light not going to get turned off because of you. But what he wants from you, what you can give God, is a sacrifice of praise. I'm telling you. I ain't got no money, but I still can shout him. I can praise him. But what he has done in my life, and I'm telling you, if you can't praise God when you ain't got no money, you really going to be in trouble when you get some. Because it ain't about money. It's about God, amen? Amen? And what he has done. Praise him now. Praise him anyhow. See, don't be a circumstantial praiser. You know what circumstantial praise is? You get something, God is good. Right? You know, you don't have anything, so I can take it or leave it. I ain't got nothing, so I can't pray. No, I got all I need. It's in God. Because see, our circumstances always change. And the devil loves a circumstantial praise because he says, if I can change your circumstances, I can change your praise. But what happens when your circumstances change, but he can't change your praise? Now he gets mad. Because the devil knows, he said, man, this woman, she ain't praising you for nothing, God. She only praising you because she got a raise on a job. Take that raise away and see what happens. She won't come to church and she'll shake her fist at anybody that calls her to. But Job was praising God not for what he had. Who God was. I want you to know that all of us should worship together and want to praise God for the great things he has done for us. Amen? But not only this, you become like what you worship. Hello. You become like what you worship. Why did he say in the commandment, he said, well, have no other gods what before me? I'm your Lord God. Worship me and me alone shall you serve. Because you become like what you worship. That's why the problem with Israel is that when he started worshiping the Baals and the Asherah, these sexual gods, they became sexual beings. Hello? They was worshiping the god of sex, and they became what? Whoremongers. You worship what you become. Right, baby? That's okay. The baby said amen, too. The baby said, yep, you're right. You're right, Pastor. The baby, amen. See? Out of the mouth of the baby, they're going to say, you're right. And you know, you become what you worship. That's why the Bible says, it says that, be ye holy as your what? Father is holy. The Bible says, come to church and lift up what? Holy what? Hands. If you begin to worship Jesus, begin to praise his name, you begin to worship it, become a habit of that, you become like what you worship. I want to be like Jesus. But you start worshiping other stuff, you become like that. You become. I've seen people. They worship this, they worship this. You start idolizing this, idolizing your job, idolizing your car, so idolizing all this money and those things, you become snobby. Because you got a whole bunch of stuff. You think, oh, that's, I got all this stuff, and I got my money. Okay, and? You ain't taking it with you when you go. It ain't going with you. As Solomon says, but some of us, he says, listen, you can get all this money, and you're going to leave it behind. He said something else. Leave out some children, they're going to squander it. They're going to squander what you left behind. It's gone. Be careful about that. See, we were created to worship and give glory to God. That's why no human being should be praised or worshiped. Because we can't see two things that we cannot handle, praise and worship. We can't handle it. It's not meant for us. It's meant for God. We cannot handle praise and worship. So don't give it to us. Give it to God. He's the one we are to worship. Amen?
Amen.
They worship God. And that's why, like it says in the book of Revelation, it says, and I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and all the earth and them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And they fell down and worshiped him. Who do you worship? Who do you worship? Do you worship people? Do you worship things? It's called idolatry. What's idolatry? Anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Anything that takes his place, that you elevate that thing over God, becomes idol. That's why it says, hey, listen, you're either going to love one or hate the other. That's why we ought to worship together. And that's why it says also that, and this is not on the sermon outline, but that's why it says that we as Christians, when we worship God, that we should be connected. If God's called us to be in a relationship, God calls us to be married, it says that we should be, well, don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. Because you ain't going to worship the same. You're not. So now what do? You with somebody that doesn't worship God. Now you got to make a choice. What do you do? What do you do with that? Most of the time, we do the opposite. We start to worship. We start to say, well, it's okay, well. We start to worship that person over God. Let me tell you this. And let me give you this quick nugget of advice. This is for free. If you are a child of God, born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, your Heavenly Father is never, ever, ever, ever is going to send you somebody who doesn't love him. Amen. He's not going to do that. That's not, your Father loves you too much. He ain't going to give you that prayer. He's not. He's not going to do that to you. Because our Father gives good things to his children. He's not going to do that. Because God loves you. And he wants you to worship him together. Amen?
Amen.
So think about that. We worship together. How can two walk together unless they agree? And that's why it's so important to come to the fellowship of the church, to be here, to worship with God's people. It energizes you for the week. Because now you've been centered in Jesus. You focus and set right. You aligned with the Holy Spirit for the journey ahead. And you determine to give him praise and glory and to fight the battle that you know is coming. I believe for some of you, there are blessings on the way for you. There's a blessing for you. That God wants to bless all his children. But for many of us, we haven't gotten to the right position or the right posture to receive the blessing. We're not in the right position to receive it. We don't believe God. We're not consistent. See, one thing that God loves, I tell people all the time, consistency is the most important thing. Doing the same thing over and over again. Just start being consistent. Just be consistent. God said, I'll take that. Because what he don't want is, James talks about, we become unstable. Double-minded. You good for two Sundays, you miss four. Hello? You hear two, then the four, you gone. FBI can't find you. I'm sorry. We can't locate you. Then you come back. Now, when you come back, you're not filled. You're empty. We happy to see you. But you like the prodigal son. It's been rough out there. Then you come back. And we start all over again. We can't build on this. God wants you to be consistent so he can bless you and say, no, I can build upon this person now. Now I can bless you and elevate you to a place. God said, can I trust you with the anointing? Can you be entrusted with the anointing that I want to place upon your life? One thing about being trusted with the anointing is when you show up. Why would God call somebody to pastor a church when they barely show up every Sunday? Think about that. Why would God call someone to pastor a church when you barely here? You can do that as a pastor. You're going to show up every other week? Think about it. I'm being honest. Think about if I did what some of y'all did. Well, he's going to be gone the next 4 weeks. Is he preaching? No, he just at the house hanging out. He ain't preaching nowhere. He just out there. He barbecued today. he said we can come over afterwards, and he asked us how to go, but he. Brother asked me, "How was church?" Should have been there, Pastor. We miss you. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. But I'm telling you, but we laugh at something like that, though. But see, I'm telling you, I want God to bless me. I'm serious. I really do. But one thing God said, you got to show up. And you got to be with God's people and watch what I do. And see, I'm telling people, I didn't come out the womb of preaching the gospel. It just started by worshiping God and showing up. And then God says, I will begin to bless a person like you. Because you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you charge over many. What about you? You see, well, Pastor, I don't like to sing. I didn't say sing, I said worship. Hello? I said worship. Open your mouth and give him praise. Let everything that has breath. That's what it's about. So how do we take this beyond the wall? How do we take it beyond the wall? Thank God for the hope we have. We have hope in Jesus. Then we thank him for the gift of the church. This church is a gift. It really, I don't say it because I'm the pastor. The church is a gift to the body. We are a gift to one another. And pray that our church would be a place where we know what it means to truly come together in him.